welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 121. How are we all doing? Let me know in the chat. Can I see the chat? That'd be a start, wouldn't it? Let's have a look. I'm there. Hello, Jonathan. We missed you. Not another overrunning meeting. I'm going to buy a shepherd's hook, Jonathan, and remove you from these meetings. It's not on. We'd much rather you'd have been with us as well. Oh, poor Jonathan. What you needed to do was a Paul trademark, which is put the chat on and then try and work out what we're talking about. That way madness lies. So what have you been up to today? I'm still on fire productivity-wise. It's very strange. Not even joking. Hello, Simon. Oh, you realigned their expectations. That's what I like to hear, Jonathan. You sort them out, indeed. So what have we been doing today? No more meetings? No more meetings? Has Simon been baking? These are the fundamental questions in life that need sorting out. These ought I need to know. One thing that happened today, I believe it's been gone over a little bit in Slack, Ulysses. I've been beta testing that. I was bursting to tell you. Sorry, Simon. Yes, beta testing Ulysses 20. There's the good, the bad, and then there's the ugly. Everybody seems to love it. But some of the changes have been made to particularly assist writers. But if it's blogging that you're doing, changes aren't exactly fantastic, unfortunately. Hello, Debbie. How are you doing? Oh, baking tomorrow. Oh, Simon, we shall look forward to this. I just love seeing it. Couldn't possibly eat it, but it looks fantastic. And I definitely want to see it. So who uses Ulysses? It's on setup, Jonathan, just saying. It may make an appearance on Friday, although I did have a running order for Friday, which I'm changing as we sit here to accommodate it. But we did have some slots, so not a problem. Shouldn't run on much past, say, 3, Jonathan. You've got to claw back a point now. You use it but can't spell it. Oh, Jonathan! What Ulysses, apart from some book by someone or other? That was Joyce you're thinking of. Ulysses is the writer's app. It's a bit like Scrivener, but simpler, more text-based. It's available on setup, hence Jonathan. Now he knows what it's for, because he was also in that boat. It is very, very good, let's say that. Issue is, if you've not got set up, it's subscription, which is getting to be more of a pain with every passing day. But it is very, very good. It handles any kind of writing, from simple couple of paragraphs right through to novels. And there are, I think David Hewson's using it at the moment. Now, David Hewson's been on a Mac since forever. When I first moved to a Mac, I was reading his blog. And he was using Circus Pony's Notebook. And he'd actually written full published novels in Circus Pony's Notebook. And I remember being absolutely amazed how on earth he did that. Because I was thinking about how you would get the stuff out of it. Circus Pony's Notebook was fabulous. But if you wanted to take something out of it, it tended to be like a multi-page PDF. So it literally did look like a notebook. Then I think, now where did he go after that? Oh, he tried Note Taker. And Note Taker came from, what had happened was there was a couple of guys who'd written a notebook app for the Mac. And I don't know whether they had a falling out or whether it was an amicable split, but they basically both took a fork of the code as at a certain point and ran with it. One became Circus Pony's Notebook, and the other became Note Taker. They were similar enough for you to look at and think, whoa, these are very, very similar, but different enough to work just that different that it was annoying. So, Mike, are you bending the space-time? Why? What's he up to? What's he up to, Kim? He's actually in a meeting right now. He didn't really fancy it, I'll be honest with you. But he had to go because we think he's won a prize. And if there's a prize involved, he'll go. So we'll see. Oh, there he is. Oh, there he is. I missed that bit, Mike. Mind you, won't be able to hear me, will he? That's where he is. Right. I was about to mention that with 127. Do you reckon, Jonathan? What about when you least expect it? Anyway, back to Ulysses. So this guy moved on to other stuff. He ended up on Scrivener. Actually wrote a book about writing books in Scrivener. It's all very meta. And then he moved on to Ulysses. So a lot of novelists are using it on the basis it's simpler than Scrivener. And it works flawlessly on the iPad, which Scrivener relies on Dropbox Sync, which works when it feels like it. So that's Ulysses. It's for writing. Doesn't have to be full novels because it can export to all kinds of formats. So I remember Jonathan saying he wanted to write in Markdown, but then convert it to a Word file. And you can do that with it. Me, I write it in Ulysses and then publish it straight to my blog. All the posts that contain the audio of the Maroon shows and MacBytes and After Hours videos all go up there through Ulysses. So it is incredibly powerful. And they have brought out an update, which again, like I say, it's very much geared to serious, serious writers. Sadly, not geared to those publishing straight to a blog. I'll explain all the nuances on Friday. It's nothing catastrophic. It's just mildly irritating. But you know what happens when I get mildly irritated? Yes, I'll be writing to the developers. Because what it had was perfect and now they've changed it. And yes, it's way more fully featured. It's just they've moved my cheese. And you know what happens when they move my cheese? Oh, is the car new already, Jonathan? You've already got it, but you can't drive it anywhere. Jonathan! Oh, but you did get £25 back from Admiral. I'm thinking the longer this goes on, they could do with giving us some more back. In fact, in that vein, I have got to share with you. Jonathan, you might have seen this. It's on the BBC News. No, it wasn't. It was on Sky News. I am lying. It was on Sky News. But doubtless it'll be on somewhere. Let me have a look. Somewhere on BBC News at some point. Mind you, knowing the BBC, they've just got rubbish on about Banksy. Interestingly, not on the BBC. This is why the BBC annoys me intensely. Serious. The homepage is Banksy and Ghislaine Maxwell. Which is an American problem. She's not here, so not our problem at the moment. Oh, I'll have to get it off Sky News, crying out loud. Right. But I believe it was genuine. Stuart's not here. Ooh. That. Right, after I mentioned your potential prize. Oh, dear. Right, let me see if I can find it. It was the news overnight. Where have you gone? Where have you gone? I wonder if they're deliberately hiding this. It's a good job. I saved it last night because it's vanished. And yet, this was a paper, scientific paper, which was requested, put together, don't know what word you want to use, by Sir Patrick Vallance, who was the guy who kept appearing with Boris. So let's just say it was a good job that I saved it. And hopefully it'll be in there. Is it that one? Now where's it gone? Oh, for crying out loud. No, not there either. Basically, this story is Patrick Vallance and 28 other experts have got together and put this paper together to say that unless the government get a grip on this, the government getting a grip on it, just saying, unless the government do get a grip on it, it will take off again in the autumn, September, October time, and by January, February next year, it will peak with deaths at 120,000 in the UK. Why has this disappeared off all the news sites is what I want to know. I was not hallucinating. That was me checking the news this morning at about 4:45 as I went to bed. And now it's totally disappeared. Is there a search engine on here? Seriously, it's disappeared. I will find this. But what do we think of that? I said to Mike, you do realise we might not be going out this side Christmas. And funnily enough, Kim said pretty much the other day, didn't you? You said you'd be marooned till next summer. You are going out. You are going out. Oh, it's to see Nanny Isaacs. You never know when that might come in handy, Jonathan. You could be stuck somewhere. In fact, there was actually a story about that, wasn't there? A woman in a car that... Oh, was it a geezer? Was it a guy? Let me have a think. Could well have been a guy, because I think he ended up losing a leg. But that was a different bit part of the story. His car spun off the road down into a ditch. There was a suitcase there and the suitcase had something in it that could potentially get him out, but basically he was trapped by the leg. He managed to get that out, which meant he could move a bit further and reach his mobile phone and then get help. So if you're ever stuck in your car, there you go. Oh, seriously, Mike. Ludicrous. Oh, it could be Kit. Jonathan, your next car could be Kit from Knight Rider. I think he drove himself, didn't he? Oh, Simon, that is the best description. It will make Harold Shipman look like Bob Ross compared to Boris. I've got to ask. So Mike's saying there's a three-circle quiz face-to-face. Right, you know what we need to ask, don't you? Which circles? Crying out loud. That's scary. Hello, Mrs. Simon. My thoughts exactly, Mike. Are they for real? Want locking up, just saying. I totally agree, Kim. The Matt Bullies rule, you're not going. CarPlay. We went for the manual CarPlay. Ringway and two others and not Brooklands. I don't think you'd get anybody from Brooklands going, seriously. Maybe they're all in bubbles together. Let's ask. Are they in a bubble together? Oh, it's working this in the chat malarkey, isn't it? Yeah, that's great. Three circles in a bubble. Don't ask. Just don't ask. So what do we think? Do we think we will actually get out again this year? You want to know about the car? Not a problem, Jonathan. Have a fabulous evening. Say hello to the parents. And the grandparents, obviously. Mike's being very rude. A Catinian loving. Right. Let me see if I can find the right emoji. There's the right emoji. Oh, excellent. You work for a regional music charity and the government has just told all Perry music teachers they can restart face-to-face music tuition and the public liability. That'll be valid again. Fabulous. Words fail me. Words totally fail me. Mike's still being told if you can work from home, work from home. But obviously the government, mind you, when I say the government, it was basically Gove, wasn't it? One person in the government. This one person, I wish I'd have got that news story as well, said, never mind the masks, common sense will work. Has he seen what's been going on for the last 4 months? Does he live in a bubble on Mars? Clearly. I wouldn't have thought he did, you know, because his wife works for the Daily Mail. And they've got all kinds of rubbish in there. So I would have thought, you know, he would have been savvier than that. But common sense is going to save us. I remember putting a meme up on Facebook and it said, it's like two cats talking to each other. And it says, like, you know, common sense. And that one cat says to the other, yeah, some of y'all in dire straits, basically. Right, did I put it in there instead? I definitely had this link. Oh no, that was a totally different one. So not that either. Oh, it was definitely in here. What have you done? What have you done? I will find that. I will find it for Friday. And Gove photographed today going out into a shop without a mask. But the rule doesn't come in till the 24th. So I have a very important question for you lovely MacBinders. Does that mean the infection's not going to rear its ugly head again till the 24th? Because I can't fathom that. I cannot fathom that. It doesn't make sense. If masks are critical now to the point they'll fine you £100 for not wearing one, where were they 4 months ago? They're making themselves look the biggest imbeciles on the planet. I really do not understand it. But I'm just presuming it's me, you know. Just me. I don't actually think it is. I know where I am. Still trying to find this thing that I definitely had it. It was definitely there. And I must have gone into it and done that. So if I go in and do that again, and that... No, it was putting it in there. So I definitely need to go and find that. I can't fathom them. It's ludicrous. Unless they know that the R rate's rising and they don't want to actually admit it, which I would think was more than possible, that they just don't want to admit it. But it must be rising. Leicester's been in lockdown for, is it 2 weeks now? They went back to a full lockdown situation. And still they have cases higher than the national average. So something is going on somewhere. And I'm not sure where. Ooh, Kim's going to a continuing education course on mask wearing and dentistry on Friday. We shall look forward to that. Something tells me they're going to be telling you to make sure that it's full body armour, basically. Oh, I did see one last night. Couldn't stop laughing. I mean, I know it's not funny, but there are things that you see that are funny. Many, many moons ago when I started watching football, that's UK football, probably the mid-70s as far as I remember back. But at the time, Manchester United had a manager, Tommy Docherty. It all ended badly, but that's a whole different story. But the Bucket and Sponge Man really was the Bucket and Sponge Man. So these days we have a physiotherapist and 36 doctors. But back then we had a Bucket and Sponge Man. And he would run on with a sponge and a bucket of water. And no matter whether it was a broken leg or a broken neck, and yes, genuinely a player carried on with a broken neck, the bucket and sponge seemed to work. Last night, United were on, and it was on a satellite channel that I could actually watch for a change. So they'd done a free-to-air. Although it was on Sky, they'd done a free-to-air. So I'm watching, and a player went down injured. And the physio ran on. Now, since the Bucket and Sponge Man, we did then get proper physiotherapists who actually knew what they were talking about, who were very good. But they'd wear a tracksuit and they'd run on with a bag and, you know, they'd have smelling salts in their pocket and they'd basically bring a player around if needed, walk them off, and then they could carry on playing. Last night, this physio was kneeling on the floor and he had a mask on. And I thought, fair enough. And then I realised he also had an apron on. So it was a very thin plastic apron. In this country, it's the kind that you would see a dinner lady wearing. So I've got Kath from the Brooklands chat on a Saturday night texting me because she's a red. And she said, what on earth? And as I glanced up and I'm looking at it, there were then two players down. There were 16 medical staff on the pitch, all wearing full regalia and this little plastic pinny. And I'm rolling on the floor laughing. And I said, it looks like a crossover episode between Casualty and Dinner Ladies. One of them was even a girl. Now, that is unheard of at United. So I don't know whether she belonged to the other side. But they tend not to have female medical staff. It didn't end well, that the last time that happened. Not at United, at Chelsea. But it still didn't end well. Oh, dear. Hello, Tracy. How are you doing? How's it going? I wonder if Mike's won his award yet. Do you think he'll tell us when he has? I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. Been in this meeting a while already. I think it started 6:30. So are you in Exeter yet, Tracy? I'm suspecting by now you probably are. Weather's a bit warm as well. And I noticed, when Tracy said, what's the weather like? I went and I added Exeter to my weather app. This week, I looked at it and I thought, oh God, it's hot this week. And it was going up to 24 and 25. And I realised I was looking at Exeter. And ours was a much cooler 21. But it is, I mean, at the minute it's 15 degrees. But it's still oppressively warm. It's gone muggy again. It's horrible. Freezing today. Oh, happy to swap, Tracy. Oh, for crying out loud, Mike. Why are they discussing this? Can't they just leave people be? I'm sure this... No, if this was North Cheshire... Last time I had a place card from North Cheshire, I didn't think I'd spelt that right. Right. Oh God, not last night, last time. Yeah, get them back on point, Mike, or you'll be there all night. Some of them just seem to like the fact, you know, they used to go to lots of meetings and obviously now they're not. So when they get an opportunity like this, you will never hear the end of it. They'll just yak, 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 yak. Oh, there was another classic I thought I'd share with you. You couldn't make up. There's a video on this as well. I hope you can see it. You know, we were talking about webcams and how dangerous they are with people behind them and stuff. This one is an absolute classic. Go have a look at that. This was his cat. But whoever got the still image is fantastic. And this was actually him talking to Parliament. It wasn't an interview. This was actually him remoting in, I do believe. He was addressing the Digital Culture, Media and Sports Committee. And his cat walked past. Oh, because somebody noticed a lot of the literature and they decided to step away quickly. What's going on? Oh, he's rabbiting away this guy a bit, isn't he? But I presume the cat does come in eventually. So fingers crossed. How long is... There's the cat. That video is a classic. I think that's going to make it into my review of the year. And then he gets rid of the cat. I'd rather have got rid of the committee myself, but that's just me. I can't even hear what's going on next door. I wish I could. It's all very quiet. He must have his headphones on. This meeting, oh, I'm going to love hearing about this meeting later. I do hope it finishes before Marooned and then Mike can tell us all about it. Also, can't wait to see what he's won. Last year, there was awards for like the best event of the year. And obviously it goes from the Catinian year, which is April 2019 to April 2020. And they do it in the summer, hence doing it now. So, we're interested to find out what's going on there. I'm depressed looking at all of the COVID stuff. It's getting very depressing. I thought at one point we were actually on the way to maybe like it being reasonable enough that you could venture out if you wanted to. But there's also been a huge story that has come from Italy. And that is that one of the areas, is it Bergamo? I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it. Is not exactly locking down again, but it's not great. Another one that came out said that even those who had incredibly mild symptoms of COVID subsequently have been found to have damage to almost every major organ, which just to me says like, yeah, don't go out. Don't go out. And I'm okay with that. I am really seriously okay with that. I'm in no rush to head out. But what is happening is that I'm noticing increasingly frequently is other people are saying like, oh, it'd be lovely to see you soon. And you're like, oh, no. Because you feel if you say to them, you know, I'm not going out, I would rather not, that you're being rude to them personally. And this is nothing personal. It's just, you know, even if you got it very, very lightly, you've no idea what's going to happen in the future. So if you can work from home and you are quite happy working from home, I mean, if it's affecting your mental health to the point that you've got to get out, fine, then go out. But it's better for everybody that those who aren't negatively impacted, like me, stay at home out the way. And that way, you know, it keeps the R rate down. But there is it. I fear we're teetering on the brink with our friends of like, there's now expectations that you would be prepared to meet up again. Is anybody else getting that from friends, family, or is it just me? I know Mike's getting that as well. I'm still loading these things in to try and find this thing, but I've run out of stories. Oh, there's one. There's a good one. The chances of getting COVID-19 are going up. Track the cases in your area. Let's have a look. Let's have a laugh. How many cases where I live? The latest daily figures. Whoa. 398 in a day. So can we do this by area? Looks like we can. Oh, looks like Wales is badly affected. But I will put in Trafford. And we have 884 cases. We're 84th on the list. Still not good. You've all gone very quiet. I trust you're still there. Am I still there? Hope so. Let me know. Are people expecting you to go out or visit you? Or stuff like that? At least one of them who said to us, can't wait to see you, said, but when you're ready. I'm like, have you got a 5-year diary? 213 in Debbie City. Thing is, these are just the reported cases, but there must be more than that who haven't been tested. We had a friend of ours who decided to go and be tested, but actually it came back negative. But I wouldn't even know. I guess you'd have to go on the website. I haven't even bothered looking because I'm not leaving the house. So I don't particularly need to know about getting a test, do I? That would be a total waste of money. But there must be other people in that circumstance who have actually got it to any kind of degree. And they're not part of the figures. So I reckon you can probably triple the figures before you start. Kim has no problems expressing her boundaries. Oh, that's a good one, Kim. Do you mind if I borrow that? You've already been asked about it. Sounding rude by friends, and I say, Kim, don't play. I would say the same. I wouldn't be kind of shamed into it. But I just think, like, this is an unprecedented situation. And I feel that there's no way I would say to somebody, can I come round? Or when are we going to see each other? I would leave it to them to make the first move. And I'll tell you what it's like. I've got a friend who posted something on Facebook. And Mike said, have you seen Facebook? And I said, no. And he said, oh, might want to have a look at that. And it was a post from this young girl. Well, it's a young girl, not young lady. She's 30 now. She got married 2.5 years ago. And she posted this thing. And I don't know whether it was an image of some description. So it must have said something on the image. So she may have got it from somewhere else rather than actually make it herself. But either way. And this image was about asking women when they're going to have a baby. And she'd written this piece underneath that tore everybody a new one. And it was basically like, when will people stop asking women when they're going to have a family? It's a personal decision. There are many, many reasons why women may choose not to have a baby now or not to have a baby full stop. And then she rattled off a load of reasons like, you know, fertility issues, mental health issues, financial issues. Trust me, there was a full list. And I'm reading it like, whoa, whoa. And it said to me somebody had said something, or more than one somebody had said something to her, and that was the final straw, and she let rip. Now, okay, she's been married 2.5 years, so what? I wouldn't dream of saying to somebody, when are you starting a family? It's none of my business. And plus the fact, you know, maybe a few years ago, my mum said that. Mum had been married 10 years before she decided to have a family, and she said, she was sick of it, absolutely sick of it. It was every time there was a family meetup. Maybe it's just me. It would never enter my head to say that. And back in my mum's day, maybe. But surely we all know a lot more now about reasons that people may choose not to be having a baby right at this moment. You know, that's even leaving out the fertility issues, which if you are going through fertility treatment must be absolutely horrific. And the last thing you need is some ill-informed imbecile saying, when you're having a baby. So she went mental with this. And I'm seeing that. I'm feeling a little bit like that about the COVID thing. It's like, don't ask. When I'm ready, I'll tell everybody. Until then, don't ask. That's how I feel about it, but can't believe people are that rude. You got that from half the village after 2 years, see what I mean? It is insane. It really is. I will say I don't think this young lady did herself any favours before the wedding, saying that she couldn't have a baby fast enough. But even so, I certainly haven't said to her, when you're having a family, it's none of my business. It's a huge life-changing event, that. It's none of my business whatsoever. But somebody clearly said something, and I'm wondering who it was. I'm reckoning it could have been actually quite a few people. I guess older people. I mean, my grandmother was a menace. She really was a menace for that. Maybe they don't see the harm of it, but, you know, this is where mental health issues come from. My gran was a straight-laced Catholic until my 16th birthday. I mean, she literally, you would not get any more straight-laced than my grandmother. On my 16th birthday, at my 16th birthday party, she said, and I quote, when am I having a great-grandchild? And I'm like, whenever you want, go for your life. Just don't expect me to provide one. And she was most indignant at that. And I thought, you've got to be kidding. I'm not seeing anybody. And 16, I was still at school, for crying out loud. After that, I had 2 more years education locally. Then I went to university. And, you know, when I went to university, it was for like 3 years. Ended up coming back after about 6. Because I did extra years. I went to Oxford for a year. I studied in France. You know, by the time I came home, I think I was, well, I just met Mike then, so I was about 24. Yeah. But she never let up. She never looked. Every time she set eyes on me, when am I having a great grandchild? So luckily for me, I had a cousin. He was 6 years younger than me, so he would have been 10. Our birthdays were 3 days apart, so he would have been 10 at that point. And I said, why don't you see him? And she was like, but that would be another 6 years. And I was actually thinking at the time, I think it might be a lot longer than that, because I think he bats for the other team. But no, what was really funny was neither of us, so we were I've got cousins on my dad's side, but this was on my mum's side. And neither of us had children. Now, obviously, he still could. He would be what now? 47. But neither of us ever did. Maybe it was being pushed too far the other way, Gran. Just saying. By the time I, on my 21st birthday, Tracy, you are so right. My 21st birthday had a bit of a thing with people coming round. I didn't want a huge party. Didn't want a party of any description. I wanted, because that would have cost, you know, that would have been a cost for mum and dad. And I wanted a computer. And they said, well, you know, you can have your party or you can take the money, you can get a computer with it. The computer one. Just say, you're not surprised at that, are you? Any of you? So we had this bit of a party. There was there was only seven of us. Literally close family. So there was me and my mum and dad, my cousin and his mum and dad, and my grandmother. And Gran started again. So I was 21. And my aunt said to me, now, you know, like you forgive your grandmother, don't you? Because she's in a dotage. But my aunt turned around and said, you're 21 already, you're on the shelf. I hadn't even graduated at the time. I'm rolling on the floor laughing. My mum was not pleased. She felt that like she'd done computer programming and stuff. She was the first computer programmer, lady computer programmer in the country. You know, and she'd done that on top of being married, having a family. And she was like, can't you just leave her alone? Just leave her alone. It's not necessary. This not necessary at all. But my aunt really thought like that. By the time I got to 24, she'd totally given up. I was then, I'd graduated from on the shelf to old maid. So, yes, Tracy, I was absolutely over the hill at 24. Oh, at which point I met Mike. Oh, Gran fell in love. Absolutely fell in love. The first time she met him, she'd gone into hospital. Now, don't panic. She went into hospital like people went to Butlins. She packed for weeks. And then when she was ready, she decided she'd ring the doctor and then she'd go to hospital. Nothing wrong with her. She did have a heart condition, but, you know, these particular trips to the hospital, I think she was bored. It was ludicrous. And she'd gone in on one of these things and it was like, oh, best go and visit then, even though you're thinking nothing wrong with her. She'll be out in a few days. And I took Mike with me. And the only issue she had with being in hospital was that she couldn't watch her favourite soap, which was Coronation Street. And at the time, Mike did watch it. So she said, I can't watch Coronation Street. And Mike said, where were you up to? And he starts filling her in over what had gone on. That was it. Love at first sight. Oh. Mike's busy giving me information here. Hopefully he'll be back in soon. I'll say, are they wrapping up yet? Right, let's see what we get back from Mike. Absolute genius. Loving it. So yes, Gran fell in love with him. That was the end of that. She did. She treated him like a grandson. You had your first at 25. See, 25 to me, Tracy, is like you're still a baby yourself. You've got life to live. Oh, 25. But then I met a girl at school, a girl I'd gone to school with. And I think I was heading to my A-levels. So I was about 17 and a half. And I met her out shopping. I think she was on her own at the time. And then her mum came back. And her mum was pushing like a buggy with two children in it. And I just assumed it was like her brother and sister or something. No, they were her kids. And I'm like, how have you got two at 17 and a half? They weren't twins. So it's like, good grief. And when I think back now, you know, that child will be, what, 38? I'm not old enough to... This is what I say with Rachel. I'm not old enough for this. They're still yakking on, Mike's telling me. Paul's wife was 25. 25 must be the age. But you see, Mike and I only got going out together 3 weeks before my 25th birthday. So that wasn't on the cards, full stop. That just seems so young now. It probably didn't at the time. I probably felt at 25 I was as grown up as I was ever going to be. Which could possibly be true, but that's not the point. I just still don't feel old enough. Oh, good God. Two of them were pregnant during graduation. Scary. Oh, I did have one at college who was pregnant, but she was older. She was in her early 30s. And she sat the exam sort of 7-8 months pregnant, which would have got me nervous. But Tracy, do you think it was the same one? It was just so scary. I mean, this one of them was virtually a toddler. And I thought, well, I left when I was 16. So the last time I would have seen her, she would have been 16. And if I was only 17 and a half, she couldn't possibly have been more than 18. I know it sounds a silly question, but where did these kids come from and when? It frightened me witless. And then when you hear people, again, you're at school with, and it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm just saving up for the kids to go to university. And you're like, what? And you kind of do the calculation and think, oh, yeah, they are actually old enough. It's scary. Now, you're going to need to explain valedictorian. I've heard the term. Is it like head girl or something? Let me know. Only heard it. I wouldn't like to say it's coming to the end with Mike's thing. Let's see. Waiting in the... there we go. They're announcing these awards right now, apparently. Let's see how that goes. Top of the class grade-wise. Ah, right, with you. That's scary. It really is. 3 hours? Wow. You're afraid to make the assumption. Is it grandma or mum pushing the buggy? That's where I'm at. I've been there quite a while. You do feel such an idiot. I just assume these kids were her brothers. I think mentally, I say to people, you know, mentally, I'm 18, but actually I think it's possibly 14 and still horrified the thought of this. How do they cope? I mean, I look back to being between 16 and 25. I barely look after myself. Unbelievable. You actually remember who was last. Wow. Don't think we have a genuine term for who's got the highest grades. It'd just be like, sometimes there was a pecking order, but I actually never saw a pecking order, an official pecking order of results, until I went to Chrysalton. Chrysalton is the College of Law in Cheshire. And it was the first time that the results had been put up, and we were in classes of 50, 55. It was the first time I'd seen it put up by who came top and by definition who came bottom. And I thought that was like pretty bad to those like in the lower half. I think I was probably about 10th or 12th. But certainly not at the top, because we, you know, we'd never done that. You had the pass or you fail. There's no need to go down that route, but they did. They did. Oh, and the other thing that was a complete farce with mine, this is horrific. I don't know how you get your results in the States, not actually graduate, but get your results. But for your law exams, your Law Society finals, well, actually, let's go back a bit. For your O-levels, you would go to the school on a given day and you would be given your results in an envelope on a strip of paper. For your A-levels, same thing would happen. At university, they were pinned up on a board. So at the appropriate hour, you would go to where this board is and you would check the results. If you were away and you couldn't, and this was pre-internet, they would be posted to you and you would be getting them maybe like a week to 10 days later. But the College of Law, oh, they had their own thing going on. Now, it could have been a practical thing that there is more than one College of Law. So there's one in York. There's what, that's about 80 miles from here, 80, 90 miles. It's Jonathan's hometown, Leeds. So it's near Leeds. So it's 80, 90 miles to the west. There's Cristleton, which is about 50 miles. Oh, no, Leeds is to the east. Cristleton's about 50 miles to the west. Then you've got one in London, and you've got one in Guildford, and one in Bath. So all these College of Laws are all over the country. Now, I still don't see why you couldn't send results out by college, but instead of having you go to the college and pick them up, or instead of sending them to you, you had to wait for that for about 3 or 4 weeks. But the actual results were printed in the Times, the national newspaper, the Times, originally called the Times of London. So this was what we had to do. I knew from the fact I'd worked in a newsagent's when I was younger, like 6 o'clock was the first time you get there, but the papers would be there about 5:30. So on this November night, we'd sat them in the summer, had to wait till like November to get the results. On this, well, when I say night, it was morning, but obviously it was pitch black. About 5:15, me, Mike, Mum and Dad head out from the house. We get round the corner to the newsagents and we're stood there in the pouring rain waiting to get our hands on a copy of the Times. Luckily, the guy's like, are you waiting for something? Because it was raining. And we said, yeah, I need a copy of the Times now. And he said, I'll sort it out. And he got a copy and like handed it out and gave him the money. And there we were in the pouring rain, opening this paper, which is about, you know, 6 foot wide, looking at the tiniest print in it. And it was everybody's results. It wasn't just Chester. It was Leeds. It was York. It was all over. There was hundreds of results in there. And you're looking for your name and then like a pass or a fail next to it. It's horrific. I remember saying to Mum, you know, they shouldn't put you through this. It's like abuse. Seriously. So Tracy's O-levels results were pinned up on the inside of the Glasgow entrance for everyone to read. And then we had them posted. Nothing like anything private then. A-levels came by post. No, I went down for both of mine, for those. But putting them up where everyone can read them's a bit much, isn't it? Having said that, I don't know if it was the same way you were, Tracy, but your O-levels and your A-levels are actually printed in the local paper. So anybody who wants to see them can do, which is also not good. Yeah, it's fine if you've done great, but, you know, if you've not, that's a bit mean to me. It's nobody else's business. So the dental boards were mailed to you. She says 100. I said, so out of how many? She says, doesn't say, and I had to ask a roommate. She said, you made a perfect score. Oh, that's so sweet. That's lovely. Totally subjective score. Thing is, with dentistry, you might need that. You might need that because some of it's how well you interact with the patients, which is why my cousin should never have been a dentist on God's green earth. Add the personality for working with computers. Guess what he does now? Works with computers. He was given to be a computer nerd, not a dentist. I think actually his thing with dentistry was that he had very, very, very bad teeth until his adult teeth came through and they coated them in some kind of something or other. And he was so pleased when his adult teeth came through that he didn't have all of the problems he had with his milk teeth. I think he had 8 taken out. They were that bad, his milk teeth. He made the mistake of saying to his mum, I'm going to be a dentist. And after that was it. He was going to be a dentist no matter what. But he grew up and that was aged about 7, 6 or 7. He grew up and he wanted to work in computers and she was having none of it. It didn't end well, didn't that? 3 patients that we did certain types of procedures. not an Exeter tradition. Up in the lobby of the School of Computing building at university. I do think, you know, if you've done okay, it's great. But if you've not done as well as you hoped, that's tough. That is very, very, very tough. I remember going down for one, because obviously I had come home. I went down to London results day, and I remember going down there, and I thought I'd done okay in three, but I wasn't sure about the fourth. The fourth was equity and trusts, and it's a nightmare of an exam, a nightmare. So I thought, I honestly don't know with that. It's touch and go with that one. So I was as nervous as a kitten. We get down there, and somehow I'd managed to pass it. So the other three I thought I'd done great with anyway. That was fine. So no problems with that. I think I'd actually got a first on two of them. What on earth is going on out there? Oh, we've got idiots out on bikes. But this particular trust one, I was nervous as a kitten. And I had scraped through, thankfully. But as I was walking out, Mum didn't come in with me. She was, because we'd made the trip from Manchester, so we were doing a 500-mile round trip for this. And she said, no, you go in there with your friends. And I'm like, no, I want you in there, Mum. But she wouldn't. So I comes out, gives her the thumbs up, and this girl comes out. I didn't know her, no idea. But she must have seen me at college. I had no recollection of ever seeing her. And she was kind of slumped on the wall. And she could obviously tell from me and my mum celebrating that, you know, it was good news. And she said, congratulations, you're at Holborn, aren't you? And I said, yeah, you know, are you? So she said, yeah. So I said, is it good news? And she went, no. And she'd failed this exam that was touch and go for me. It was a stinker of a paper. It's a wonder anybody passed it. There was me and one other guy that I knew of, and I think everybody else had failed it. It was awful. So she was sort of in tears, but we became best buddies after that. She had to do a resit on it and then got through the second thing. But it must be so difficult to be there when people have done well and they're celebrating. It must be awful. It does make you think about GDPR, doesn't it, Anthony? Surely they've got to change that now. College didn't do that. They actually had them in envelopes, because I remember at college we had a 2-hour wait. We were supposed to be picking them up at 11 o'clock. And they would arrive, you know, that computer paper that had holes at the side, the tractor fed, the tractor fed it was called. They came through like a massive swathe of computer paper that they actually had to tear those bits with the holes off at the side and then separate each individual result sheet and put it in an envelope and write the name on the front. This is why it took 2 hours. But they didn't arrive at 9 o'clock. They were supposed to arrive at 9 o'clock, hence they told us to arrive at 11. And of course, you're there waiting for your results. And when it comes to 11 o'clock, my mum and dad are getting a bit twitchy because they hadn't arrived. Then they finally arrived and Mum said, you know, look, we've been sat here for 2 hours. To expect us to wait another 2 hours before we find out is a bit much, because not everybody was there. So there may have been thousands of results there, but because it was a big college, but not everyone was there because it was holiday season. Anyway, she said, give me a minute. And they'd like unfurled this paper and they were like going through. It was alphabetical. It was a dot matrix printer, but I think the printer paper was called tractor fed. And it basically had two cogs at the side of it that pulled it through based on these holes. We went in and what they'd done was they'd opened these results and they'd kind of flipped them over until they got to the G's where I was. And they couldn't take it out in the middle, but what they could do was kind of show me what I'd got. And I'd done really well. I was thrilled. This was my mid-year. So I was 17 at this point. We do O-levels at 16, A-levels at 18. But if you're taking new subjects, you get the option to take an O-level in them after 1 year, which was what I'd done. So I'd done really well and I was thrilled. We waited and we got the result and we came home with it and had a complete party. And then it was in the paper. So what they'd done was they'd put for our year a number next to people's names. So it didn't have subjects or anything, I don't think. Just had a number. And the number meant how many O-levels you'd passed. Every one of them was either 1, 2 or 3. Apart from mine, which was a 4, I'd taken 4. And this other person who had had 4. So it said on it, J.D. Newton. And I thought, who is J.D. Newton? Because it was the only other person who'd done 4. So I had no idea. Didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl. No idea. So we get there for the second year and we're allocated form groups. And we're all sitting there minding our own. And then your form tutor comes in for that year and then did a register. It's going through the register. Obviously came to me first, Elaine Giles. And this guy opposite, his head sprung up. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he was really looking. And I thought, what's with you? I had no idea who this guy was. Anyway, eventually he looked back down at his book. There was a grinding of teeth coming from that area. And as he carried on through the list of students, he said, James Newton. And my head sprung up on a ratchet to see which one was James Newton. And it was this guy who'd been looking at me. And we stared at each other and just glowered because we didn't know who'd come top. One of us had, because there was only 2 who'd sat 4. So we were staring each other out. And when afterwards we were going out and I thought, I can't approach this guy. Thing was, he was a mature student as well. So I, at that age, was 17 and he must have been easy 24 or 25. And he'd been in the army. So he would have been an incredibly confident person, put it like that, to come and deal with me, where I was like, no, I'm not going to ask. Anyway, he marches over and he went, E. Giles, 4. I went, J.D. Newton, 4. He went, yeah. So I went, yeah. We just looked at each other and I said, go on, what'd you get? He said, 3 A's and a B. It was like playing poker. And he went, you? I went, 4 A's. He went, bugger! But you know, we were best mates after that. We were best mates for the entire year. Yes, it was a dot matrix printer and it was green and white every other line. It was quite wide. And obviously, when you've only done 4 subjects or less, most of the paper was sort of totally wasted, but because it was so wide, they had to fold it over and fold it over and fold it over and then put the names on the envelopes, hence it taking 2 hours. It was ridiculous. What a year that was. Remember that so well. But I've got a message from Mike. They have indeed won awards and more than one. Let's have a look. 1, 2, 3, 4 awards. They've won 4 of them in Mike's year. I'm not sure if that's a record. I have no idea. He's sending me messages now. Do you remember that conference we were going to in Aberdeen? And we didn't because it got cancelled. Next year is Eastbourne. That's so not happening. That's nearer France than it is me. By some considerable distance. That is right down on the south coast. Further on than Tracy is right now. That is a long way to go. And then the year after that, we're going to Sheffield. Sheffield. Is there a big conference centre in Sheffield? I guess there must be. Have you ever been to Sheffield? I don't think I have. I think I've skirted Sheffield, but I don't actually think I've been into the town centre. Wouldn't you think they'd pick somewhere like on the coast, you know, apart from about Eastbourne, which obviously is on the coast, but Eastbourne is where people go to die, literally. Who remembers a case? Bodkin Adams. Dr. Bodkin Adams. He was basically like Dr. Death, and he lived in Eastbourne and he was killing off patients, elderly patients. I'm assuming he can see the chat. I'm assuming so. I want him to tell you what one of them was. So, you tell them that. There we go. So I want him to tell you what one of them was. paper was called Green Bar. Never heard it called that. No, I never actually used that stuff. I did have a printer that would use it. It was an Epson printer. A something 100. There's memory for you. But how I used it, you could take off the back of it the kind of contraption that pulled the paper through, these cogs. You could take that off entirely, and then you could lift up a bit at the back. It kind of like lifted up, and you could put into it A4 paper, and then it became a sheet fed scanner, so a printer. So that's what I did. Oh, 286 miles. Oh, wow. Do you know it could have been the EP100? I'll bet, Simon, it's still in the loft. Don't tell Mike. See, Mike moved in after the hoarding. It will still be in the loft, I'm telling you. It could well have been. The thing I remember about getting this printer was the fact that it arrived a day late and Mum was not pleased. She'd had to order it because she was the only one with a credit card at the time. I didn't have a credit card at university, didn't have enough money. Trust me, I lived on £5 a week. Trust me. But luckily that didn't include petrol. But I was lucky if I had £5 a week. Did earn more than that, but I had to buy things with it for college. So no, money wasn't something I had. And she'd ordered it and she'd paid delivery on it. And then when it arrived, you had to sign for it. But it said on the thing that you can't sign where it says signed, but not opened, you know, not checked. And she did it anyway. And then she got onto them and played holy heck and wanted the money back for the delivery because it arrived a day late. Did she get it? Oh, yes. Don't cross my mother. So, yes, she did. But that's what I remember about the printer. It's like the first day it was due to arrive and we were sitting there and sitting and it didn't arrive. And I could see her going purple. And I felt responsible because it was something for me. But then I left her to deal with it the next day and it was all fine. I must have been, what, about 20 at the time. Just leave it to your mother. Oh, that's why. Remember I told you about that woman that was on the phone to her from Macmillan, the cancer nurses that don't nurse those. That was why I didn't want to take the phone out of her hand. But I was it more incensed with this woman shouting at my mother than I was over the printer or anything that had gone before. And that's why in the end, I did take it out of her hand and realign the woman's expectations. And then she came back with everything that Mum wanted, which, to be honest, wasn't much. An over-the-bed table. That was it. She wasn't asking for a gold bar, but don't get me going on that one. There's actually now we're getting a lot of adverts and I only saw them during the football match the other night. We're getting a lot of adverts about how cancer treatments and charities, either the treatments have been put on hold or the charities are really suffering and they're now, you know, looking for donations. And one of them came on for Macmillan, so I just turned the sound off and looked the other way because I thought it's not good for my blood pressure. As long as they don't come knocking on the door. Mind you, I had an Amazon delivery today and he didn't knock on the door either. So I actually had no idea that that was coming at all. But it's here, so that's fine. She taught me everything I know, Kim. She did, actually, you know, she did, seriously. She taught me. I think if I'd have been complaining about this, I'd have probably gone around about it the wrong way. But when I was a very poor student, and I was a very poor student, paying fees, paying living fees, trying to work, driving, I think it's probably about 1,500 miles a week, which cost money for petrol. I was a poor, starving student. And we went out because we would go out on a Monday. I'd take her out. And we went out and the new U2 album had come out. I think it was Rattlin' Home, which, don't remind me, this is bad. They had the 30th anniversary of last year. Who feels old now? Yeah, me. So this album came out and I wanted it. And I had a card from... If you're in the UK, you'll know this. Boots the chemist. But at the time, they sold CDs. And this card was a student card. So you had to prove you were a student. And it gave you 10% off all the CDs that came out. So that was a huge thing for me because these CDs would be £10, £11. 10% off was a lot for me. So I went in with this card and said, you know, the new U2 album, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. And he said, we haven't got them in. So he was unpacking, you know, so the box had arrived that day's delivery. So I said, well, will it come in later? And he said, don't know. So really unhelpful, really unhelpful. So I came out again and I said to Mum, I haven't got it. She went, oh, but, you know, you need to have it today. It's the day of release. You need it today. So I said, well, they haven't got it. So what can I do? So we were walking through the shopping precinct and there was a shop there that was a dedicated record shop. There were very few of them about even then, but this particular town, which was Altrincham, had one. And it was actually owned by Peter Swales. That won't mean anything to many people, but he actually owned Manchester City at the time. So, you know, as a Red, you wouldn't be going in his shop to buy an album. But if it was the only place that had the album, then you would. So Mum said, let's go in and have a look. And I went, oh, Mum, it's Swales's. And she went, do you want this album or not? So I went, yeah. So we went in. So she marches up. You too, new album. Guy said, what's it called? She said, I don't know. Have you got it or not? Like skulking up behind her with like, it's Rattle and Hum, Mother. She was like, yeah, it sounds like a Rattle and Hum. Anyway, they had it. Thing was, it was more expensive. So it was £12. So I would probably have got this thing for about £9.10, something like that. This was £12. And I said, Mum, you know, that's like 50% of what I've got to live on this week. She said, I'll pay the difference. So that was that. Comes home with it. Fabulous. Oh, no. Before we get home. So I've got it in my little bag. I'm walking back. I am a happy bunny. I walk past Boots' window on the way to the car. And in the window, there's this huge display of U2 rattling home. And I went, what? Because he'd said, we've had the delivery today. It's not here. So I went in. So I said, you got rattling home? He went, yeah. And I was incensed. I thought, you lying little toad. You know, and whoever was paying the difference was irrelevant. I thought that was shocking customer service. So I comes out and I says to Mum, you know, it really like put a dampener on the day that, yes, you've got it. But, you know, I've got this student card and I'm trying to give you business and you don't particularly want to know. So I said, you know, I want to write and complain. So Mum said, who are you writing to? So I said, Altrincham, you know, Boots at Altrincham. She went, no. She said, you don't do that. She said, give me the phone. I thought, what's she doing? So she got on the phone. She rings Manchester Central Library, asks for the business department, and then asks for the company records for Boots nationwide and wanted to know who the managing director was and what his address was, which was public information. So they gave it to her. So she said, right, now write your letter. That's who you're sending it to. And I went, but Mum, he isn't going to care. And she went, trust me on this. So I did, and I put it all down, the full saga. You know, what's the point in having this card if then when I want something, then you're being lied to? And I think I finished it off with, and the person in question could do with a course in customer service management, you know, whatever. So I then sent this off to the managing director of Boots. The next day, this went off at like 5:30. The next day, at 9:15 in the morning, Mum got a phone call, and it was for me. Obviously, I didn't have my own phone at the time. So she says, it's Boots. I said, what? You had the letter had time to get there yet? Apparently so. This was the area manager who'd been given a rocket from head office from the managing director to, and I quote, sort it out now. So he wanted to come round to the house. God, these were the days of customer service, wasn't it? And make amends. So he came round to the house. He gave us a full apology. He gave us the difference between what we'd paid at the other record store to what I would have paid at Boots, and then gave me a £25 voucher and told me it would never happen again. And if I had any problems, this was his private number. He left the house and I was like, what just happened? And Mum said, you don't talk to the oil rag. You talk to the engineer. Off she went. And I've adopted that approach ever since. Thing is, these days, I don't think that would happen because I don't think the higher-ups in business care anymore. But back then, they did. And the fact that this student card was their flagship thing, because back in the day, if you remember, if you're in the UK, Boots were in high competition with WH Smith's. And Smith's had some kind of student card. And I think theirs gave you like 8% off. So Boots went for 10. And it was like a loyalty card before its day. Oh, she was so cool. And she didn't think anything of doing stuff like that either. She, on the phone, she was fabulous. She said she didn't like face-to-face confrontations, you know. But on the phone, red hot. Now, I'm the other way around. But she was. She was amazing. And that meant, you know, every time I think about Rattle and Hum and I think about listening to it, I'm just smiling broadly. Because it reminds me of that and it reminds me of Mum. Oh, what a day that was. Poor Mike's still in this meeting. It's heading for 2 hours. He's going to fly out of there at some point in a right mood. He's already had to, because it is oppressively warm again. He's already had a shower on his way in there. But don't panic. He's not got his proper pants on. No, he's got his jogging bottoms on. So from the waist up, formal. Waist down, informal. But it's very warm in there. He's taken a fan in with him, but 2 hours. Oh, a little bit too much, I think. A little bit too much. But I'm going to leave it for him to tell you which he won. There's four of them that they've won, but one, oh, he's got to tell you. He's got to tell you. I'm not stealing his thunder on that one. That's an absolute classic. So I'm going to let him tell you that. But I do not even hear him. I'll ask, shall I? I'll ask. How's the meeting going? But still going. Let's see what he's got to say. I hope he's not talking as I'm sending him texts in there. Oh, I'm not even getting a reply. Oh, maybe they are expecting him to speak or do something. Let's find out. I'm sure it'll be there. Better have an ice cream ready for the poor hot guy. Absolutely. I was actually thinking, can't get any vanilla ice cream. But what I could get was raspberry ripple. And I thought, be rude not to really, wouldn't it? Oh, and the other one is Madam. Oh. Sammies can talk. Don't know if you know that, but Samoids can talk. They kind of chunner. There's one on Facebook who talks a lot. She's called Coconut Rice Bear. Lola's always been very, very quiet. But when we gave her those sausages that came from Tesco's because we didn't have any of Asda's left the other day, she started talking when she'd eaten them because she wanted more. And we just looked at each other like, whoa, she's Sammy talking. Maya used to do it a bit, but not much. But he would howl. Oh, he could howl for England, he could. But Lola's been so quiet. She's still chunnering on today. She's sitting there when she's had a treat. And then she starts talking, chunnering away. I've got to get this on audio so you can hear it. But she literally is though, just making like Samoid noises. And what we're taking it to be is like, yeah, that was nice. More. More, more. I've got to get it on tape. It is so funny. But we daren't give her too much because of what happened at the weekend. But I think we've got a winner with these. I think she likes them. Do you know what loving your dog looks like? Putting in two different orders to two different supermarkets so you can get enough dog treats. That's what Mike's doing at the weekend. And he said, if we don't get enough, can you put one into Morrison's? So literally, you've got to, when you put an order in, you can't just say, can you send me 3 packets of dog juice? You want to put an order in for £40 to £50. And that is what we're going to do. Oh, she is spoiled. But she's so worth it. She's so cute. Does everybody else's dog do this? Or is it just ours who talks to you until they get treats? Thing is with us, it's like, how, why after 9 months has she suddenly started doing that? Oh, and there's a couple of pictures here I meant to include as well for the weekend. Don't know what she's doing in those. But she's definitely talking and chunnering. I think I'll have to get him some iced water as well. Because I'm in here and I've got iced water. We actually have like a picnic bag thing that we put blocks of ice at the bottom and then put the water on top of it so the water's nice and cool. But that's in here with me and not in there where he is. Ooh, you have to look forward to this then tomorrow night. I don't think he's coming out anytime soon. I reckon this is a meeting that could run and run. No, I thought that was a door, but it's not. So we might have to hold that thought for tomorrow. But he has won something that you will adore, I guarantee it.
Thing is, because it's not in person, where's the touchy-touchy, feely-feely trophy?
We need a trophy. When's that arriving? Oh, it is a good one. It is a good one, I promise you. I promise you. Now, where are we up to? We're up to Tuesday, aren't we? There will be a mail going out early tomorrow morning, which will be the announcement mail of what's being covered on Friday. Do you want a sneak peek? I don't think it's any surprise we're doing Devon Think. It would be more of a surprise if we weren't doing Devon Think. Oh, and Jonathan's had to go. And 127 was mentioned in the mail, wasn't it? I've been teasing. I'm very bad. Very bad. A 10-foot dover. Hey, he'd like that. That would go down very nicely. It would go with his 3-foot one, wouldn't it? Let's have a look. Because I've just put Ulysses in. And that's not all it could be, sadly. But I have just put Ulysses in. And we've got Devon Think. As you well know, Mike's doing the query editor. And I've got a way of taking notes that's nothing short of amazing. So I'll be showing you that app. That was the fly in the ointment when I was trying to get things to sync. But the app itself is absolutely fabulous. And the other one, has he eaten the massive Toblerone? No, we're hanging on to that for the second wave. It could be, makes the difference between starving to death and not, Anthony. And it's dated till February 2021. So it's downstairs. I'm also looking at video cameras. So I thought, might be an idea to save the Toblerone until the video camera arrives. There is a reason I'm looking at video cameras, all will be revealed. And the other thing I'm contemplating is kind of like a precursor to Devon Think, where we look at why we are using Devon Think. Now, that was actually requested by Paul. Yes, Paul, I did make notice that you said that, and it's in the list. At the moment, it was going to be the first thing, but I've just shifted it. So I've moved that bit to the second bit. But then I've got to put Ulysses somewhere, haven't I? I think we'll probably go with Ulysses first, get it over and done with. Excellent. So that's what we've got for Friday. And I'm ahead of myself. You know, this productivity thing I'm on. I am actually ahead of myself. I have even built a new system for managing the mails in Notion. We've had a system for managing the mails in Notion for ages. But again, it was one of those things where we built a comms table and we used the comms table to manage it. And I've just said to Mike, don't touch the comms table, because I've now written a system. So now it's got like views on it where you can focus in on just the week or just mails that you're sending to a particular list or group or that kind of thing. Now it's much easier to manage. Poor Mike was trying to manage it in a calendar view. And the thing was, the calendar view had everything on it. All of the tweets, all of the Facebook posts. You couldn't see the wood for the trees, basically. So I've built a Kanban view. And it's now structured by not started, in progress, ready to send, in draft, scheduled in Hootsuite, or it's sent. It's rather good. Show you that as well if you like. Notion and Devon Think. Did I mention Notion? I'll throw that in. I will actually, because Debbie asked for that, I think. Or Deb. Was it Deb? Debbie? Deborah? It's dreadful, I get so confused, but I'd see the first three letters and I'm lost. But one of you definitely did. I'll tell you what, I'll find out who it was. Let's see if the system works. Can I actually find who suggested that? It was Debbie. There you go. It was Debbie. And Debbie suggested it in After Hours. And that would be a couple of weeks back. There you go. You would like to see what Devon Think 3 can do that Notion can't do. There you go. See? All sorted. So we'll have a look at that. If I can squeeze it in. But we don't want an overly long show, do we? Apart from the fact we want Jonathan asleep. We need to split the two, I think. There we go. Well, tomorrow night will be the grand reveal of what Mike won. Always presupposing is it a replacement system for post-it notes? There is a system, actually. Yeah, yeah, there is. It lives on the MacBytes 2.0 dashboard. It's called Suggested Content Items, and it's when you guys suggest something. We put in what it is that you suggest, who suggested it, where and when you suggested it, and then any details about it. And then at the other end, it links in with content items and action items. So if it was, if one of you mentions something in After Hours, it goes in as a post-show action item, a PSAI. So something like, let's have a look. Yeah, there's a Devon Think one from Paul. So that one is in there as a post-show action item. From there, it becomes a suggested content item. And then at the point that you decide, yeah, I'm going to cover that, then it becomes a content item. There you go. So there is a pipeline for that. Did it replace the post-it note? Nothing's ever going to replace my post-it notes. Not fully. Not fully. Is it bad I bought another notebook? It's sort of a system, though. There is logic to it. I could show you that, but it'd probably be better to wait till I've got a camera that actually focuses on stuff, because my iPhone focuses wherever it wants. Unfortunately, it's very seldom where I want it to focus. So we'll have a look at that if I can actually get my hands on it. Yeah, it's a. I have an Arc notebook, which is similar to the... Is it Levenger? But not quite. Oh, hang on. Has he escaped? Have you escaped?
Yes.
Yay!
Eventually.
That means you'll find out tonight. I haven't told them the number one thing that you won. So start off with the other things and then finish off on the big one, Mike.
We had a normal... Well, they had, because I'm not on provincial council. I was an interloper. But I did enjoy doing the chat.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at this face. Right, so starting with the number four. He's now extricating cables from under his shirt. You look like a spy.
Number four was...
So we're leading up to the biggie, Mike.
Supporting of provincial events.
Right.
And seeing as there was only... Hello.
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 Don't you talk for everybody? I was telling them how you learnt to talk. Right,
supporting... Seeing as there was only one provincial event.
Which, was that the weekend away?
Must have been the weekend away.
Oh, fine.
And there was a lot of Brooklyn
there. There was. Yeah, but that was to support Chidge.
So we got, we won the best support of provincial events. We won the best visiting. We won the best attendance at normal circle meetings. We didn't win...
Didn't win?
We didn't win the recruitment because North Cheshire got three new people, although they did lose several through...
natural wastage.
Natural wastage.
Nicely put, Mike.
But the big, the big one...
Big one, hang on, hang on, hang on.
...was every year they have a trophy. Yeah, I didn't actually see the trophy.
Yes, I was going to say, where's the trophy?
Yeah, it's a virtual trophy.
Come to mummy.
Yeah. They have an award for best social event. So last year it was the Province Ball. Well, the year before, wasn't it? It was the Province Ball, where we all dressed up in our Star Wars outfits. Forgot what it was the year before.
No recollection at all.
It was the weekend away. But they decided this year not to actually award it to a social event. So they went, as Chid said, off the wall a bit. And awarded it to Brooklands 196, a.k.a. you and I.
Yay!
For our innovation.
It's now the Innovation Award, which has been awarded to Brooklands 196. So well deserved, if I say so myself, Mike. Oh, how fabulous. So the Province Award for Best Events, RIP... Who's going to win
for this year?
Oh, who's going to win the innovation next year?
I don't know.
Well, can I just say,
whoever comes up with Brooklands.tv,
we can do Brooklands.tv. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Much appreciated. Wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't.
No, we were speculating as to which event would win. Because the thing is, the event. And the year before, although that was a good night, the dress-up night, the guy who was doing provincial president pretty much delegated everything, literally everything. And what he was supposed to be doing was a weekend away. I don't think he could be bothered. So he put a party on instead. So instead of being away for like 4 days, he just put on this fancy dress party and that was it. And that was the one that actually won. So like I say, it was a good event, but cheating a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, this year's I felt was much more deserved.
I've just gone back through the chat. No, I haven't eaten the massive Toblerone.
No, I explained that you hadn't. Yeah, not yet. Not yet. Should we break it out in honour of the celebration when the trophy arrives?
E-I-A-D-O, we won the cup.
We won the cup. E-I-A-D-O, we won the cup. Oh, can you tell we're happy? We're keeping spirits up.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. Chidge got an award.
Oh, what for?
For 3 years on provincial council.
Oh.
Arnold got an award for 16 years on provincial council.
Wow. Mind you, Arnold is in his 90s.
Yeah.
He's as bright as a button, though.
He is.
You don't get anything past Arnold.
The only problem he has is unmuting because his eyesight's not great on his iPad. So
I'm not surprised because I can't see mine up.
When I hosted Wilmso's meeting and I muted everybody, he said, "I don't want to be muted." I thought, tough luck. That's how Zoom works. O'Kieran gave some very useful information. I'll have to play it back later about COVID.
Oh,
because obviously he's a quack.
I love the way he says that. He's a quack. He's actually a retired
physician.
Wasn't he a... He was a consultant.
Yeah.
Was he a heart consultant?
I can't remember.
He's about as high as you can go in medicine in this country. Let's put it like this. He's got his own Wikipedia page.
Yes.
He's well known. And hasn't he got a CBE?
He's got CBE.
Yeah, he's got CBE from the Queen. So he's very well known. So that's good.
But when some of the circles are talking about having face-to-face meetings and face-to-face quiz nights with three of them, and he's talking about men are more likely to get it, men in their 80s are more likely to get it. It should be 2 metres. This one plus is nonsense, blah, blah, blah.
I'd trust Kieran before I trust the rest of them. I'm with Kieran. We've done the thing about will we get out before Christmas.
We should have been, you know, the papers came out in January and we didn't go into lockdown until March.
In the back end of March.
And he's in constant contact with some high up person.
He probably knows all the ones advising the government.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't surprise me. Kim wants to know if we get an unboxing of the trophy. If the trophy arrives, yes. If we ever get a trophy, yes. Oh, we can get our own trophy. We will.
The trophies are probably at HQ.
Yeah, but they should be sent out, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Particularly if it's an innovation trophy.
Yeah.
We will acquire a trophy. I think we deserve it for all the shit we put up with last year. Let's just say that. She nearly said the S word then.
Really?
Very nearly said the S word.
Nobody knows.
I'm sure you know exactly the word I'm talking about.
We're not regulated by the Broadcasting Standards Authority.
No, we're not. We can do whatever we like and we can say whatever we like. Let's just say there were things that we hadn't anticipated in the you are a complete a-hole area.
Do you remember leaving a plastic thing on my stairs when I had the flat?
Leaving a plastic thing.
Poo.
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, we could have that as the trophy.
That could be the trophy. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'm quite liking it. It wasn't on the stairs, it was the bathroom floor.
Was it bathroom?
It was the bathroom floor. No. I think we'll save that for tomorrow, Mike. I reckon that's still lying around somewhere.
Oh, what's tomorrow?
Another episode of Marooned. Have you forgotten?
Oh, I thought Friday we could unbox it.
We could unbox it on Friday, you're quite right. Oh, what a night. What a night. Thank you for sharing it with us. It wouldn't be the same without you. I feel we do need a trophy of some description. Like
yes.
a little microphone or something. We went to the podcast awards once and we sat there and we listened to, we weren't nominated or anything.
We should have been.
We should have been. We were just there. Yeah, but the reason that we weren't nominated became clear.
We're unique.
As we listened to the categories, you know, it was like best crafting podcast and a knitting show won. And I'm like, an audio podcast about knitting. I'm quite impressed. That's clever. Because I've got no idea how you would do that. And then there was the best news show and the best business advice show. And when they'd finished, there was the best comedy show. When they'd finished, I said to Mike, if we were going to nominate ourselves, I really don't know what category I'd go for. They didn't have one for us. We're kind of unique, aren't we? It's sort of tech meets humour meets news. We should just have our own category. The best Mac Bites podcast. Oh, surprise, Mac Bites won it. Jonathan got very excited because 127 was mentioned.
Oh.
And Jonathan's got a new car.
I believe so.
But he can't drive it anywhere. But he's going to see his grandparents tomorrow.
Why can't he drive it?
Because you're not going anywhere.
Oh.
You know, like you've got a new toy. Like you've got new Wellington boots, but it's not raining. Like that.
Right.
Or a new swimming pool and it's raining. Oh, Kim's found a trophy. Oh, we might be able to find a trophy here. Let's have a look. We should get two. One for Mac Bites. Because, trust me, based on these categories, we're never going to win anything. There was best local podcast, but that doesn't work either.
Yeah, I could. We could.
Oh, yes, I'm liking these.
We need to update the homepage for Saturday.
Award-winning yes. radio station.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that Oscar one. Oh, yes, I'll have one of all of these. Oh, yeah, they're brilliant, Kim. Thank you.
If we could take a picture of one of those or find a picture somewhere.
You mean my Photoshop skills are going to be needed?
Yeah.
Is that a golf one? Oh, no, it's a music note. Oh, these are fabulous. Absolutely, definitely going to be having a look at those. Thank you. Now, I was saying how hot we both were. So Kim gave us permission for ice cream. The dentist said it was okay.
Oh, right.
So we can definitely have some. So we'll go and find some. But we will be with you again tomorrow night. In fact, aren't you actually here tomorrow?
As opposed to what?
Not being here yesterday and not being here tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike's here with us tomorrow. Excellent. So if you've got any questions about anything covering for Friday, like I said, mail will be with you at some point, either later tonight or first thing in the morning. Let me know. If you've got any more suggestions, let me know. But other than that, you will get this mail. We'll have it all in there. Oh, so we're heading off for some of that lovely ice cream. And I'll be able to put the fan back on, because even though it's saying it's 13 degrees, it's still warm. They're lying. It's not. I'm going to have to get my panda out and have a look what he's saying, because I swear he's not saying what Amazon's saying. But anyway, it's good night for the moment. We will be back tomorrow. Good night from me.
And good night from me.
We'll both see you tomorrow.
See you next time.
Stay safe, guys.